Let me echo Howard's welcome, especially to our visitors. It's good to have you with us. Today I'll be presenting the lesson. I don't know if I can do it in 15 minutes. We'll do our best. We'll do our best. It's good to be here. This is the last day of the year. Next year's 2024. Wow. I've been on this planet too long. What do you think our future holds? What's in our future? Well, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Are you worried? Are you anxious? Dave gave the answer to that one. What are your goals? What are your plans for 2024? What are our plans as a church for 2024? So, do you have some concerns? Well, boy, certainly the world has really showed that it's broken. We got the war in the Ukraine, we've got the war in Gaza, and there's probably wars going on other places as well. We're in a period of inflation. It looks like it's slowing down, but I'm sure everybody's having a hard time keeping up with the inflation that's going on. How about jobs? Well, there's not a problem there. There's plenty of jobs out there. What there's a problem is there's an employee shortage. People don't want to work. How about health? Well, we're all dealing with health issues. We certainly have cancer. We haven't solved that problem yet. We still have heart problems. We still have diabetes. We have many health issues. And so that may be a concern you have. Boy, the government.
No.
Our wonderful government. We have to worry about things like abortion, gender and sexual orientation, immigration, hate crimes, you name it, we got it. How about us as an assembly of God's people? We don't have an evangelist, so we're looking for one. So that's one of the concerns we have. We've got to find the right person to come and help us as well as the community. We need elders. We don't have elders anymore. And let's make sure we don't have strife, but we have to work at it, because it's easy to have strife. Okay, so as far as worries and anxiousness, the Bible tells us the answer. Matthew 6 was already read by Dave, so to save time, we won't read that one. But Ecclesiastes, the preacher really tells us exactly what we need to do. And I'm just going to jump in the middle and say, but beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion. Solomon did everything in his life. He was not restricted by money or power or whatever. He had his way in everything. But he came to realize, and a thousand wives, by the way, but he came to realize, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So, that's how we're going to deal with it. We're going to just fear God and keep his commandments. All right. Well, here's a young lad with his piece of paper there, and he's got some choices to make. And that's the way we live. Every day we have to make choices and pray that we make the right choices. And my future is what the Lord and I make of it. So where am I headed? All right. What are my goals? What am I doing now? And what am I going to be doing a year from now? And so typically, we make some goals for the new year. We look back and we say, all right, that didn't work out. We're going to do better. And so I'm just going to just list a bunch of them here, and I'm going to read them. You can read as well as I can. but always at the top, I've got to improve my diet, I've got to lose some weight, and maybe get a better job, and do things like that, be a better parent, be a better husband, and be spiritually more mature. As Christians, we start out as babies, and then as we live each day, we need to get off the milk and get onto the solid food and just keep growing. And it's a lifetime, a lifetime achievement. And I'm still chewing on the meat, but it's okay. It tastes good. All right. And contribute that. Hey, contribute more to the edification of the congregation. And certainly Howard read in Ephesians, you know, how that's done, how we have unity, and what the Holy Spirit is, what Jesus and the Holy Spirit have provided us with, apostles, prophets, teachers, to build us up, be equipped, to do good works. All right. Let's look at this person again. We've got to decide what we're going to do, but it's what the Lord and I make of it is where we want to be headed. And those are great goals, but wanting them is not the same as achieving them. All right. So here's where the rubber meets the road. You got to have plans. You know, when I was working in industry, we had 5-year plans. And why did we go out that far? Because if you don't look in the future as to where you want to be, you're not going to get there. And some of us live each day at a time. You wake up and you say, well, whatever's on the plate, I'm going to eat it. But where does it get you? You know, well, I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe a hammer. Ooh. So let's make some plans. So we need to ask ourselves some questions. And if I keep on doing what I'm doing right now, will I reach my goals? And if the answer is yes, great. Talk to me. Tell me how to do that. How about my qualities? Am I lacking anything that would help me reach my goal? Yeah, I want to be a brain surgeon. I don't think so. What am I doing right now that is preventing me from reaching my goals? I'm old. Too late to teach an old dog new tricks. What specifically should I be doing right now to reach my goals within the next year or two? And that's the key. That's the key. I remember when I was went to a class about your career, and they said, I want you to write your obituary. So if you write your obituary, you're writing about what you achieved in your life, and then, well, where are you with respect to what's going to be said on your obituary? You know. So anyway, we need to think ahead if there's some goals we want to have, and we got to start making moves right now to get that, make that happen. So there's action required. Proverbs 5:10-1 says, he who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. That's get it done. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. I don't know if I want to be fat. Proverbs 24:30, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles, its surface was covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. When I saw or reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed. And finally, he who tills his hand will have plenty of food. His land will have plenty of food. But he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. All right. I listed a bunch of goals here, and I thought, let's just talk about what we would have to do right now to find a better paying job that I would enjoy. And what do I need to do right now to be spiritually more mature? So we'll just kind of look at these two areas, but whatever your list is, You look at those things that are on your list of goals and then sort of think about, well, what do I have to do today, tomorrow, and the next day to achieve that goal? So it's just getting the thing. So, okay, what am I doing right now that will help me reach my goal? To stay on plan and not be distracted. What am I doing right now that is preventing me from reaching that goal? There's a lot we can talk about here. Am I working two jobs? You know, I want to have a better job. I'm working two jobs. I don't have time to get a better job. Okay? Other activities. For instance, I'm involved with sports and hobbies and entertainment, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, many, many, many distractions. And so what specifically should I be doing right now to reach my goal within the next year or two? And here's some answer. Well, check the want ad. See what's out there. As I told you, there's plenty of jobs out there. If you don't like your job, you should investigate what's available. Maybe there's a better job out there for you. You can use somebody that's good at finding jobs. They're good at looking at what your talents are and telling you, and companies will listen to them. Right now, if a company receives 100 resumes, how are they going to figure out which ones to look at? But headhunters do all that work for them. And so the most headhunters that are respected, when a company's looking for an employee, they go to the headhunter and he says, I got two candidates that satisfy that requirement. And so they narrow it down. So it's a headhunter. You can use a temporary agency to try out a job. You can use networking, mentors, applications, night classes, everything, whatever it is, whatever will help you meet that goal. Let's go to the one that I like, the one that's really important. We need to put food on the table, yes. God wants us to work, put food on the table. But we need to be spiritually more mature. Remember I said we start out as a baby. We got to do things about that. You know, there were Christians in the first century that were still babies. In fact, maybe they did mature and then they stopped maturing. And you know, in our situation, you can't stop. Because if you stop, you start sliding back. So you got to keep trudging forward. Now, as I used to say, I've reached the point where my bucket has a hole in it. And it's leaking out faster than I'm putting it in. But that's the point. You can't stop. You got to keep adding water to the bucket. Otherwise, pretty soon the bucket will be empty. Same thing with spiritual growth. You need to keep growing. You need to keep adding to get mature. We're all at different places. We all learn at different rates. Don't get me wrong. Not everybody should be up here trying to give a lesson. Okay. But within your capabilities, don't sell yourself short, but within your capabilities, we need to keep growing. One way to do this is just to be here, to be together with Christians, just to be around Christians, not only to attend services, but if possible, be with them on a more frequent basis. Prepare for worship and Bible classes. Be ready when you come. Attend or start a home Bible study. Oh, I can't talk about this enough, because it's how I became a Christian. And nothing better than sitting around a table discussing the scriptures. And we have available many classes in homes during the week. Join. How about just your personal Bible study? Yourself. Spend some time in the book yourself. Bible reading programs are available. I usually put one out every year if you want to read the whole Bible through in a year. It's a big job. It's a commitment. It can be done. Meditate on the law day and night. Don't let a day go by that you don't think about God and pray to God and grow a little bit in your faith. Read daily online Bible devotionals. I start each day off with reading Jumpstart. It's just one thing written by a brother, and it gets me started. And I have Kathy Dugas to thank for that habit. And there's also something called Word Points by Gary Henry. But I'm sure a lot of you can tell. Thanks. And now online, there's a lot of stuff that you can go online and just every day get some information to help you grow, help you stay on track, and spend quiet time with God. You know, being alone for spiritual purposes is what Jesus did. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. Think about habitually having some private time with God. And after he had sent the multitude away, Jesus, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. It was not easy for Jesus to get away from the crowds. But eventually they went to bed. He didn't. He went up on the mountain to be alone with his Father. Satan uses radio, TV, CDs, DVDs, movies, internet, sports, podcasts, computers, iPods, cell phones, all of these things to distract us from communicating with God and meditating on his word. I know firsthand. You gravitate. I'm tired. I'll listen to some music. I'll do this. I'll do this. Good. Talk to God. Be with God. Study his word. My future is what the Lord and I make of it. So where am I headed? Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Ephesians 4:15-16. We got a chance to read that today. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. This is talking about the church. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. The church, the local church, the church that meets here in Kingsborough, is made up of all of us. We're all members. We all have a role to play. We all need to be growing so that as a group, under the head, which is Jesus, we build ourselves up to do his work. All right. Nothing can be more important than now that we don't have elders, that we don't have a preacher. So, we're in the phase of the evangelist search. Okay, what is an evangelist? It's a good idea to know what we want. And in Scripture, the role of an evangelist involves preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 4:2. The word itself, evangelist, is from the Greek, euangelistes, which just means a bringer of good news. So it's not even an English word. It's kind of, you look at the Greek and you just kind of anglicize it. Evangelistes, and you make it evangelist. Specifically, an evangelist's job is to equip the saints, excuse me, for the work of ministry. It's training other Christians to study the scriptures. It's to teach what is to, they've learned and to serve however they can. This equipping is done in a variety of different environments, in public gatherings like a weekly assembly of Christians, or in a more intimate setting such as a local coffee shop or a home study, Acts 20 verses 20. So, this is who we're looking for, somebody that will equip us to do these things. Okay? Previous evangelists. I want to just list. Don't panic. Don't panic. Not having an evangelist is not a terrible thing. It's awful. It's not necessary. We have the talent here. You already see men stepping up and giving lessons. Okay. So we don't need somebody who is our full-time evangelist. And so what I just wanted to show you is the past, and we survived since 1976, so there's no reason to think we can't get past 2024, even if we don't have evangelists the whole year, and that's a possibility. Don't throw that out the window. Okay, our first evangelist in 76 was Skip Paquette. What was good about Skip? He was born and raised here. So you expect him to stay here. Well, he didn't stay. In fact, in 2 years he went to Connecticut and preached down there for a couple of years. But then he came back. And he became our evangelist and stayed and worked with us for another 15 years. And then he left. And usually it's family things. His dad was down in Florida and needed assistance, so he went down there to live. And that's where Skip is today in Florida. But he came back and he preached in Maine for a number of years, and he's down there now, retired, but he's still preaching. Then during that interim, while he was in Wallingford, Connecticut, one of our members, a former preacher by the name of Glenn Beasley, volunteered to be in the pulpit every Sunday and also helped out immensely in classes as well, he and his wife. So that, we had a good 2 years during our early years, 78 to 1980. Then we had Kieran, and Kieran was here for 10 years. Oh, the numbers in parentheses are how many children they have.
Oh.
Okay. What is that? Well, Skip had three children. His family had three children. Glenn Beasley had two. And Kieran, who was here, had five. Okay. And he was here 10 years. And he would still be here except for the fact that his wife's mother was dying of cancer. And so they wanted to be able to help out there. And so they moved from good old sunny Massachusetts to Duluth, Minnesota. So he worked there. But guess where he is now? Florida. It's going to be a common theme. All right. Then we had Mike Bozeman here. He came from Indiana, but he was here for 7 years. He's back in Indiana. Had five children. Nathan came here with one child, but he left with six. And he was here 9 years. I think the point of this slide is to show you we can't get men to stay here. And there'll be reasons that they will leave. They don't necessarily leave for other reasons because we kick them out or anything like that. There are good reasons that they move on. Okay, so who's the future evangelist? I don't know. That's why this slide just went blank. In the meantime, pray, and everybody contribute. Let's not have any strife. Let's work together. Let's all grow, and we will, as a church, grow and be recognized in this community. And hopefully people will come and want to study with us. And it isn't important that they come here to worship. It's important that we get a hold of them and that they spend time with us, and we get a chance to teach them the Bible. Okay. All right, well, I didn't do too badly, 20 minutes instead of 15. But at this time, we want to take advantage of the fact we've got people here who are not Christians. And so if you're ready to become a Christian, we're ready to immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you want to continue studying, we're here to help you do that. And if you're just a member of this congregation and you have some issues that you would like people to help you pray for, let the congregation know you have these needs. We'll be all happy to go to God in prayer and ask for His help. And He will answer our prayers. If so, let's be standing now as we're led in the invitation song.